Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. We're going to go into a clip with Tom Fitton, and he's going to expose what you won't hear on any of the fake news media, what they do not want you to hear, and it's about the corruption, the absolute corruption in the Biden cartel, the Biden crime cartel. So go ahead and take it away.
One person that I never miss on social media is Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch. He is just terrific, and he's got a lot of stuff on his plate today, as always, and some victories that are going in his direction. Tom Fitton joins us on the Newsmax Hotline. How are you doing, sir?
Good afternoon. Good to be with you. Thank you.
It's great to have you on, Tom. There's a lot to get to, and I've just kind of touched on Biden family corruption right now. We had the admission by the New York Times that the Biden laptop was real. That was, of course, admitted by Politico a year earlier, and before that exposed by the New York Post, which I would assume will corroborate all of the corruption money, not only between Hunter Biden, but his father, and really expose, I believe, the most corrupt family in the history of the United States. Do you think we've made any headway with regard to that and getting the message out to the American people, and our American people finally getting it?
Well, I mean, oftentimes on issues of public corruption, it's usually only one segment of the population that cares about it, which is the population that doesn't like the politicians to begin with. You know, in this case, there's little doubt, despite the partisanship, that Joe Biden has a major corruption issue. And the question is our Justice Department and legal system able to investigate that in a way that inspires confidence in the fair administration of justice? And I don't believe that to be the case. They haven't demonstrated it to be the case. There's a Wall Street Journal story out as we speak suggesting that the DOJ is focusing on monies paid by Burisma and places like China to Hunter Biden. What I think is absent from these reports is the idea or the follow-up on the evidence that the money also benefited Joe Biden, which the laptop and other evidence seems to suggest it did. And if that's the case, what is DOJ doing other than covering up for Joe?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about Hunter Biden being indicted, Joe Biden pardoning him. There are some cues, I think, that the media are giving, that the Justice Department are giving, that would point in that direction. What do you think? What are your thoughts on the whole thing?
Well, I'm suspicious, but I don't know. You know, I just don't think we can have an investigation of Hunter Biden without a special counsel investigation, without a special counsel taking it over. Look, there are these regulations in the Justice Department. I'm not a fan of the institution of special counsel, but that's what the rules are. And the rules are there has to be a special counsel when there's a conflict of interest for the Justice Department to investigate a matter. And in this case, the matter involves the son of the president, and it implicates the president himself. And the idea there hasn't been a special counsel is just one more chapter of the worst corruption scandal in American history,
yes,
which is the abuse and targeting of Donald Trump by this Justice Department and all these other agencies, while people like Joe Biden and others, where there is actual substantive substantive evidence of criminal activity, are protected.
I saw this headline this morning. NBC, CBS, and ABC, this according to Media Research Center, have not mentioned Hunter Biden's name in 259 days. I find that this is Soviet Union kind of stuff to me, that even after the admission by the New York Times, which was buried 22 paragraphs into the story, that the three major players, as far as network television are concerned, have not even mentioned his name, which says to me there is a cabal between mainstream media, big social media, and the Democrat Party. What are your thoughts?
Well, we already knew that cabal was taking place in terms of, or it was an operation with the massive suppression or effort to discount the information about the Hunter Biden laptop in 2020, just before the election. And the suppression of it since is, confirms that collusion would continue after Biden was elected and is continuing to this day. I mean, to start reporting on it is to result in questions like, why isn't there a special counsel? What did Joe Biden know and when? What about Joe Biden's personal finances? Why is there an investigation going on there? You have Hunter Biden material suggesting he was paying for a lot of Joe Biden's expenses with these ill-gotten monies, and that he was giving a cut of his money to his father.
Yes.
Well, how, what's going on there? Why has there been an investigation? And this media is more interested in text messages between Ginny Thomas and Mark Meadows than they are about whether Joe Biden's corruption, for instance, in Ukraine, or his family's corruption in Ukraine, may have implicated or caused the national security crisis, in the sense of Putin looking at what he needed to do, what he wanted to do in Ukraine, and saying, well, I'm going to do it because Biden's corrupt, and I know he's corrupt because look what Hunter was up to.
Yeah, I want to ask you about Ginny Thomas's text messages. Do you, and there's a lot of talk about Clarence Thomas has to recuse himself for anything associated with January the 6th. What do you think about those communications?
The left is attacking the Supreme Court, wants to intimidate Clarence Thomas. He's unlikely to be intimidated, so by targeting Thomas and Ginny, they intimidate other justices on the court. They're very nervous about the court and upset about the court being largely controlled by conservatives, and what they can't control, they will destroy.
What about Ketanji Brown Jackson? The hearings have all been postponed, I guess. The decision has been postponed. What are your thoughts on the judge, her performance, and her being a Supreme Court justice?
I knew she was a left-wing activist. I was surprised in an unpleasant way by her to learn of her activism for more lenient sentences for certain pedophiles, and that's pretty extraordinary. I was shocked that she refused to define the word woman, pretended that she couldn't define it, and I didn't know, for instance, about the fact that she was running a school that embraced CRT and other racially divisive approaches to learning in their in the school curriculum. And of course, her selection is the result of race and sex discrimination by Joe Biden, who refused to consider other candidates based on race and sex alone. You know, all those reasons combine to, in my view, require the Senate to reject her nomination. The problem is Republicans have been planning to lose, so they're behind the eight ball, even despite her disastrous Senate confirmation hearings, which kind of raised issues that I don't think the American people were aware of before, and put her back politically, at least in terms of her confirmation. But we'll see what happens.
I've been focusing a lot on my show with regard to the 2020 election and massive fraud, everything from Wisconsin to Arizona to Georgia. I know that you've been looking into Georgia. We got Dinesh D'Souza. He's got a new film out where he was actually able to track 2,000 vote mules in the state of Georgia. What have you discovered about, and what have you uncovered in the state of Georgia, and where is the election fraud expose maybe turning things around for Donald Trump? What are you seeing?
Well, we have some litigation in Georgia to try to figure out why it is, for instance, the state leaders down there signed a consent decree with the leftists to change the rules in a way that undermine confidence in the elections. And, you know, those are the sorts of basic questions that need to be answered. And those are the basic questions, or the changing of the rules in a way that undermine confidence in the election systems may have been contrary to law. And if that's the case, that kind of further raises questions about the legitimacy of the 2020 elections. I mean, what the left wants to do is they want to outlaw any questions about the 2020 election. You're not allowed to dispute elections that the left, where the results the left likes. And we're not going to stop asking questions.
Yeah.
You have these, you're pointing out some more information coming out of Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. You have a court decision in Pennsylvania, for instance, that suggests that necessarily suggests that the 2020 election was illegally run, and those votes that were counted, the methodology that resulted in Biden winning was not what listed under state law there. Now, whether it's too late to do anything about it, probably is. But, you know, you you know, this is one of the reasons this president is so unpopular, because half the country thinks his moral claim on the presidency is weak.
Tom, I got to tell you, and I've said from the get-go, that anytime the mainstream media, big social media, and the Democrat Party say that something is misinformation or disinformation, a term that was coined by Joseph Stalin in 1923, it means that you know the truth. And I liken to all these fires we're talking about, Biden corruption and the 2020 election, as a twister board where the circles are on fire. And the mainstream media is trying to put out each one of these fires. Do you suppose that these are dominoes that are beginning to fall? You've had the Russia collusion hoax fall. You've had the, to some degree, the origins of the COVID virus fall. You had the Hunter Biden laptop fall. Do you suppose the next thing is going to be 2020 election? Do you suppose after that there will be others?
Well, I don't know. You know, the media and the left and the Democrats are so intent on threatening and punishing anyone who asks questions. I think the election issue is kind of a, at least the 2020 is a different matter. I mean, they're right now trying to jail people who raise questions about the 2020 election. And that hasn't happened in those other topics you're asking about. So that's going to be a much more difficult road to hoe. And it raises disturbing questions about how the next two elections are going to be handled. If there are disputes about the way they're being conducted and how votes have been counted and things like that, you know, the danger is one half of the country, they're going to pretend doesn't exist. And, that would be disastrous for our republic.
Real quick, you had a lawsuit in the state of Maryland with regard to gerrymandering. Where is that? And what have you, what has happened with regard to that?
We won.
Yes.
You know, Maryland Democrats imposed a radical, extreme, unconstitutional plan. Extreme, by the way, that's the language the court used, a Democrat judge, by the way.
Wow.
In coming up with this partisan gerrymander. And for those of your listeners who don't know what a gerrymander is, they redraw congressional maps, the map, you know, the district in which you win to pick your which you live to pick your congressman. Yeah. And those maps were an abomination. They made no sense in terms of local jurisdictions. They weren't compact. They look like Rorschach tests, right? And the court looked at that and said that that's not appropriate, because they were, you know, it's one thing to be partisan in your gerrymanders. It's another thing to be abusive. And they set up a system or a map in which virtually no Republican could win in any congressional district across the state of Maryland, even though 35% of Republicans, 35% of registered voters are Republican.
Yeah, yeah.
So the court threw it out. So now they're going to have to come up with something new. I suspect there'll still be legal fights about what they come up with, but we'll see. But I do know, you know, for the first time in Maryland history, a congressional redistricting map was thrown out thanks to Judicial Watch litigation.
Well, thanks for all the work you do, Tom, and continued success. I feel optimistic despite the headlines. I feel optimistic that things are going to start to fall, and they are beginning to fall. Tom, people can find you on Getter. They can find you on Twitter. Also, would you like to mention any other sites, and also how we can help out Judicial Watch?
Sure. We're on YouTube and Facebook, and, of course, judicialwatch.org, judicialwatch1word.org. All the lawsuits and documents that we've uncovered about Hunter, our lawsuit about Maryland, all that's there.
All righty, we are back. And Joe here. Shop at Amazon and murder a child. Jeff Bezos' empire will pay expenses for you to kill your baby if you're an employee. That's right, folks. For its employees who live in red states where baby killing could soon become illegal, predatory retrial behemoth Amazon will now foot the bill for, well, they use the word female. I don't know if you can use that word female now, employees. I think birthing employees to...
Birthing, yeah.
Yeah, to travel to a blue state to kill their baby, to kill their child. See, these are... Jeff Bezos is wicked and evil. He's ungodly. He's unclean. He's a very evil man. Abortion costs $4,000, including travel. Will be covered by Amazon, folks. I've had people on here that have their books on Amazon. I'm sorry, I won't spend a dime on Amazon, not 10 cents. I'm better than that. Now, if you're not better than that, you know, if maybe you know, you don't mind standing in a little sewer now and then. You go ahead and you buy from Amazon. But Amazon's new baby murder program, which is a response to the leaked news that the court plans to overturn Roe v. Wade. And so here, not only Amazon, he's just one of the woke corporations to bypass the ban. These other companies include Yelp, Citigroup, Apple, which have all gone woke, and they will hopefully soon be broke as a result. Joe, why don't you pray for that? Would you pray a prayer that, and folks out there listening to us, let's do that. This is imprecatory prayers. We have many of them in the Bible. And, you know, you are to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. It's a sin to remain silent when you should speak up. So would you pray, not only that, Joe, but Levi Strauss is another one. Levi Strauss is there another one? And they're saying pretty much, well, you know, the young people are not smart enough. They're not smart enough to boycott us. They want their jeans, and they'll buy them from us anyhow. They're just not smart enough to boycott us. And, you know, young people don't really have any integrity nowadays anyhow. That's the mindset that they have. So add Levi Strauss to that, and that the good Lord would break these people. You know, we see Marky Zuckerberg, he lost half of his billions. They went right down the drain because there was a lot of people praying against him for doing what he did. So would you go ahead, and folks out there all over the country, if you believe in prayer, see, you're supposed to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. You're supposed to love what God loves, hate what God hates. You're supposed to stand against the wickedness, stand against the evil, stand against this uncleanness, this antichrist system. And Bezos is pretty much saying, well, you know, I got enough money. I can do whatever I want. And as far as I'm concerned, I've got enough money. I don't really care what God wants. And that's Bezos' mindset. But now here, God's got a message for Bezos, Joe. And that message you'll find over in James chapter 5. And here it is. You ready?
Ready.
We'll go to it here. James chapter 5. And this is your message, Mr. Bezos, from God. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl, for your miseries shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten, and your gold and silver is cankered. And the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and you shall and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You heap treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down the fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. That's not good news for you, Bezos.
No.
You can laugh and snicker, but you won't be laughing long, Bezos. You see, if God says tonight's the night, Bezos, if God says tonight's the night, your soul is required of you, it will be. All the money, if you had a million times more money than you have, you cannot buy one minute out of hell.
Well, verse 5 says it, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, but punishment won't be on the earth, it'll be in hell.
Right. And so, buy a pair of Levi's and help murder an unborn child. Here.
And I think they're referring to, too, Governor Newsom wants to make, remember we talked about this, California, the abortion, you know, magnet of the country, capital of the nation, that they're going to have open and abortions and everybody can come to California to get their abortion if Roe v. Wade is stopped. So we've got, we can add California, the government of the state of California to this list, too.
Tomorrow we're going to have, Lord's willing, a man from California, Rodriguez, who's running for Congress. He's going to be joining us, and he wants to. He's in the fight.
Yeah.
And so, again, what we have here in Ohio, the conservatives didn't win. The Republicans won. You got the parties. You got the Democratic Party. You got the Republican Party and the Tea Party. The Tea Party's conservatives. And we saw what happened where the Republicans joined in with the Democrats to vote for, well, they ran Democrats. They ran Democrats as Republicans. And we're going to talk more about that, you know, as we go, as we go closer to November. But anyhow, go ahead and pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, you've heard us. You hear what is on our hearts. You hear the pain, the agony of those of us that love you and love life, and love babies, and we see what is going on all across this country, the hate, the evil, the wickedness, and now these corporations and these companies that are promoting the child killing, the murder of the shedding, murder of the innocent children, the shedding of innocent blood. And Lord, we lift these people, these organizations, they're corporations, but there are people behind them pushing this evil, and we would just ask that, Lord, that these people would repent or be removed, or like Scripture says, repent or perish, because they will perish if they do not repent. And Lord, we ask you to turn their hearts toward you, to turn them around, turn them from this path of wickedness, of destruction, of destroying these beautiful children in the image of God. And that, Lord, if they will not repent and turn from their ways, that you would remove them, that you would take away the money, the power, or that as they are trying to remove life from this earth, that you remove their life. It's far better that they leave this earth than children that they wish to murder and destroy. But we ask, Lord, that you put a halt to this horrible, wicked evilness, that these people be stopped in whatever way you deem possible. And Lord, I just ask this with all my heart, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. We continue to pray, you folks out there, if they will not repent, then pray that God will blot them out of the book of the living. Blot them out the book of the living. All right, Joe, here's what I want to do. Oh, I got an article here that I want to open the phone lines. We'll open the phone lines.
No, I've got one, too, that I'd like to squeeze in.
All righty. Well, this one is this. Cardiologist estimates 30% of U.S. pilots, 30% of U.S. pilots have COVID jab-introduced heart conditions. COVID jab-introduced. Now, that makes you want to fly, doesn't it?
Boy, that is horrible. We are already short. There's a massive shortage of pilots already, both in the military and in civilian aviation, commercial airline pilots. This is not good news, folks. This does not bode well, along with some of the other stuff. I have stuff laying around here about how depression is coming, recession, you know, stagflation. People are projecting all kinds of horrible things. We see right now where baby formula is short, Pastor. They're having trouble getting baby formula. And guess who was told way back months ago that there was going to be a problem with baby formula? And guess who did absolutely nothing about it? Would you believe the Biden administration?
No.
Yep. That Congress was warned months and months ago.
Well, you know,
came from just the news.
Because of what is happening. It used to be, Joe, it used to be women nursed their babies. It was,
yeah.
When I was a kid growing up, it'd be hard to find a woman who had a baby that wasn't nursing it. They nursed their babies. And see, that's what their breasts were for. They knew it back today. These young girls think that they're silicone containers. But they weren't for that. They were for nursing babies, okay? But now what's happening because of, the health reasons is so many of these women, they can't produce milk, and there's other things. So they need baby formula. And unfortunately, it's getting hard to find.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It was a whistleblower last fall came to the Biden administration and said that there's probably contamination problems at the Abbott Nutrition Baby Formula Factory in Michigan. And it was a Rose DeLauro, a Democrat from Connecticut, a liberal, and who released these documents that confirmed that the Biden Food and Drug was warned and ignored the warning, did not do anything at all, didn't check it out. And finally, baby started getting sick and dying. And even then, the plant wasn't inspected until quite a few children had died until the end of January. And then they waited another 2 weeks to do a recall and shut down the factory. This is evil. And then Biden, what did he say? Biden official puts positive spin on food shortages. Never let a crisis go to waste, folks.
It's going to end in catastrophe, airline pilots fears for colleague safety. Says U.S. pilots are unable to talk about jab-related health problems. Joshua Yoder is an airline pilot and co-founder of the U.S. Freedom Flyers, an advocacy group formed to help transportation industry employees maintain their medical autonomy and oppose federal vax statutes. And noted by the website American Greatness, Yoder recently disclosed an interview with Vaccine Safety Research Foundation founder Steve Kirsch, and the USFF have already received hundreds of reports of pilots experiencing chest pains and other adverse side effects. Thank you, Mr. Fauci. Already.
Yeah, and also you said that it's against the law for them to talk about it, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what he said. It's against, well, yeah, they've been silenced. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines. They're now open. Phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673, and let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. I do have a want to go to a psalm, but briefly, you know, the issue with the Chinese and the August Harvest thing, I'd recommend a podcast I was listening to just before. It's Tinfoil Hat with Sam Tripoli, episode 563. Has a guy on it, his last name is Gerba, that's making a presentation. He has a lot of clips. But apparently, the biggest group they're actually drawing from is these Falun Dan, which is not a nationality, but it's people that practice like a spirituality that involves a lot of meditation, exercise, and they don't drink or smoke. And they had a little clip, and they had a doctor from a hospital saying, yeah, we got the Falun Dan, you know, they don't smoke. These are good organs. Almost like, you know, how someone books a tour and they get the best rooms, you know, they brag
right.
That, you know, these are the best organs. So it's alarming, but it's a really, the guy that speaks, he has a very good speaking voice, so I'd recommend that. Then on the imprecatory prayer, I wanted to ask you your opinion. It's 147, verses 6 and 7, where it's, I believe this is imprecatory. Now, the verse or two before that, it refers to the great power of the Lord, which is a good way to preface an imprecatory prayer, refer to the Lord's great power. But it says that he will cast them down to the ground.
That was Psalm what?
147, verses 6 and 7.
147.
And that's what I believe he did with Nebuchadnezzar, right?
Yeah, he did. He cast them down to the ground.
Yeah.
But it says, the Lord lifted up the meek. He casts the wicked down to the ground.
Correct.
Singing to the Lord with thanksgiving and praise upon the harp unto our God. And so basically, that's what he's talking when he says, "Where are you buried when you die?"
I guess the ground would be.
That's what he's referring to. That he's the wicked. He's going to end up dead unless they repent, and that's what he's referring to there.
Or could it be they're alive, and it would be a Nebuchadnezzar type thing? How would you interpret?
Yeah, it can be both.
Yeah, either of those.
Yep.
So he could go either route, but it's either they're going to have their position, wealth, et cetera, taken away.
Solomon said it's you're better off to be a live dog than a dead lion. And and the reason he said that was that as long as you're still alive, you can still repent. You can still repent and not go to hell. But once you've died in your sin, it's too late. It's all over for you. So
now my other question would be Psalm 25.
We got to hurry because the whole entire board is lit up.
Yeah, very briefly, one verse. The very last verse says, "The Lord will redeem you from all your troubles." Now, redeem from troubles. I just want your opinion on that. You know, any given trouble, redemption from a trouble. Like that was.
Let's see.
An interesting one.
The last verse you say.
Yes.
Okay.
Psalm 25. The last.
Redeem Israel, God, out of all of our troubles. Okay. What he's referring to, like if we're, well, let me see here. Redeem Israel, O our God, from all of our troubles. Well, all of the troubles, their main trouble is rebelliousness, huh? And their main trouble, Israel was in a lot of trouble, and he was asking them, the good Lord, to redeem him from all of those troubles, meaning bring us to repentance. And so that's what he's referring to.
Okay, so the root of those particular sets of troubles was just, they were just rebellious and against God, basically.
The rebellion was the number one problem they had.
Just like today in America.
Yep, but hang tight, we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away.
Remember me, you're taking all my money. Remember me, you gave my job away. Remember me, or am I just a number? Who's white and straight and doesn't qualify for foreign aid? Remember me, I helped you get elected. But you haven't done one thing you said you'd do. Well, even though you'd rather not remember me, I'll remember you. I'll remember In November as I step into the little booth. I'll remember in November to vote for anyone but you. Remember me, I serve my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight raids? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters, thinking that you cared what I thought too. To remember, I'll remember you. I'll remember In November as I step into the little booth. I'll remember in November to vote for anyone but
Already, I'll remember in November. You can count on that. And we'll be reminding you folks, Lord's willing, just how they voted. All right. So now let's go to Linda. Linda, you're in the air.
Oh, good evening, Pastor. I have an announcement for the doers of the word. And I'm going to be giving some phone numbers. so if you could get ready to take them. But Michelle Bachmann was on the War Room with Steve Bannon this morning, and she made a shocking announcement that world leaders are voting yes to the World Health Organization to give total medical control to their citizens, and that includes the United States citizens, and that Joe Biden is underwriting this to the WHO. So in other words, they'll have like our power of a medical attorney. We will have no more medical power. They will take over all of our medical records and everything to do with our medicine. So they're going to be voting in Geneva, Switzerland on this the end of this month. And it would go into effect in November. So what Michelle Bachmann is doing is urging you to call Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell and ask them to shut down the government until we're allowed to debate this in Congress and come up with a public opinion on this, a public vote, rather than having it done underhanded the way it's been done. So the phone numbers of Kevin McCarthy directly to his D.C. office is 202-225-2915. Mitch McConnell is 202-224-2541. I called today. I got right through to both of them. They said they give the message to their leaders.
Yeah, do you?
So again, that's,
I don't trust those guys as far as you can throw them. They're...
Well, that's what Michelle Bachmann is calling to do. I don't know what else, you know, we can do other than voice our opinion with the highest leaders in the land.
Well, you know, we're supposed to. We have a job to let them know how we feel about it. And
right.
Unfortunately, what happens is,
pray.
You know, that song that we just sing, I'll Remember in November.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy, how many times have they betrayed us? Here, you know, what he did with Trump.
You know, we've got to try because if we all try, then we'll get somewhere.
Well, yeah, we can't complain if we don't. If we don't call him, I don't know if it's going to do any good at all, but you need to let them know. They're going to need to know, okay, that we will remember in November. We will remember in November if they don't.
That's when this would go into effect. They're going to vote the end of May on this here this month.
All righty. Well, folks out there, you need to do this first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning, call and let them know when on no uncertain terms. We are tired of being betrayed by those who we voted for and sent there. We are tired of being betrayed. We are tired, absolutely tired. And we don't have much faith in many of the politicians out there today, but we're going to call and let them know. 202-225-2915, and that's McCarthy. McConnell is 202-224-2541. And Linda is our San Diego correspondent.
Thank you, Pastor. This is a step toward world government, and if we let the first step go, they'll just slide us into the rest of it.
Oh, we got to fight with every breath we have.
That's right.
God demands that we do that, Linda. He demands that we do that.
I'm glad, you know, Pastor, you've been a watchman on the wall, and I think that all these years that you've been saying is coming to fruition, and people are realizing that, you know, you are really one of the forerunners of information in this country for us, and we really appreciate it.
We were out there 50 years ago, and we have some very good people like Alex Jones and so many others, but we were out there way before all the rest out there telling you. And every single thing we told you would happen, has come to pass. It's not because we're brilliant or anything like that. It could be, no. It's because what we do is we can read, we can understand, we can look at the sites, and we can do research and see who's behind the curtain, and that's what we've been doing. And so,
well, I think the Lord is with you, has been with you all these years.
He has, and I can tell you what, one thing, we have not had one boring day, not one, in 50 years now. And so, anyhow, it's good to have you out there. I still wish you were here in Ohio.
I should come out for a visit sometime soon.
Yeah, we'll do that and come up for a visit. So,
yeah.
It's summertime, it's getting warm, and it would be a great thing to do. And
yeah.
So... And I've even thought about heading out there and visiting you if you guys don't come up.
Well, that would be great. But, you know, we appreciate your time and everything that you're doing out there.
All righty. Well, God bless you. I got to move on. The entire board is lit. And
okay.
I hope you had a great Mother's Day. Let's go to Jack. Jack, you're in the air.
Yeah, you know, I'm out here in San Diego, and I think you guys would enjoy it if you came out this way, especially Oceanside. It's a coastal city. It's the prices are reasonable, but we have the best weather in the United States. So, yeah, you're welcome to come down.
Yeah, we've been down there before, and it's very – in fact, the last time I was down there for the entire 10 days, it was sunny. The day that we got there, it rained the day before. It stopped. And the day we left, it poured down rain. But in between that, it was all sunny. And
I wanted to talk about the controlled demolition of the stock market. I think it's another thing on our list that we have to keep our eye on. The key factors right now in the value of the stock market is the rate of inflation and the value of our currency. And they're both related, and they're both controlled by the Federal Reserve. So a couple of things that people I don't think realize is that when the Federal Reserve was created by Congress in 1913, it's a government-sponsored enterprise, which means it's a private institution, but it reports twice a year to Congress. And other than that, in 1913, we stopped using U.S. Treasury notes, and we started using Federal Reserve notes. So your currency is not related to the federal government. It's controlled by the Federal Reserve. It's essentially a private currency. And over 99% of all the U.S. dollars in circulation only exist in cyberspace. So we're basically already at a digital currency. In fact, most of the cash is stored at the 12 Federal Reserve District banks around the United States. Most people don't use that much cash, if any, today. Banks carry very, very little cash. And the rate of inflation, if you compare it to how they calculated it in the early 80s, would be over 15%. But since they changed the formula, they want you to believe that inflation is running about 8.5% right now.
I know. Jack, I'm running out of time, but let me tell you this. A number of counties, especially out like in Utah and those places, they have their own currency. More and more of them are doing it. They're having their own currency because of what's coming. And also, you see the price of silver and gold is being manipulated. It is being kept artificially low. And the reason for that is, with the economy being so bad, a lot of people have to dump their silver and gold just to try to stay alive, to eat. And once that happens, once enough of it is dumped, you'll see the price will go out of this. It will skyrocket. And that's what's taken.
Let me leave you with this. Basically, what I want people to know tonight is that the federal government doesn't have a currency. It raises money by selling treasuries, otherwise known as selling the debt.
Yep.
And the Federal Reserve really has no interest in raising interest rates, and it has no interest in reducing its balance sheet. So don't expect much of a change to inflation to the downside. It's probably inflation is going to increase, and it's just part of the destruction of the United States of America. It's destroying our currency and our banking system and our stock market.
You're right, and I got to move on, but thanks, Jack. And Andy, do you have that song, Federal Reserve Isn't Federal at All? Well, we'll do it tomorrow. Okay. Let's go to Bob. Bob, you're in the air.
Hello, my brother, Pastor Ernie.
Hey, Bob.
Two quick things. How you doing? I need two quick things. The only other person that ever talks about those mysterious warehouses, food processing plants, et cetera, is the one person that's on WOR. But besides that, I know time is short. I told you a few weeks ago I was going to send you a book. I'm wondering whether you got it because I sent it priority mail with my $150 money order. I tracked it down. I think it was received like 2 weeks ago.
What was the name of the book?
Live Not by Lies.
Oh, yeah. It's an older book, right?
Well, yeah, it's a manual. It says Manual for Christian Dissidents. It's, real quickly, it's the survivors of the Soviet totalitarian. They came to America, their grandmothers or whatever else like that, and they're witnessing that they are seeing this totalitarianism, communist, Marxist, is slowly, they're taking step by steps. And by softer means, it says. And then they say all of a sudden when they got their P's and Q's in order, the next day it will be full onslaught.
I hear you. Yeah, I believe I got your book. I get books every single day, and I get DVDs and songs. And I believe I got your book. I think it's got like it's a hardback, and it's got like a brown cover for my right, maybe not brown. Pardon?
Well, a little red in there, but it's the word "live" got a cross on top, and you see.
Yep, I got it, and I did glance through it already. I haven't had time to read it, but I've got it. But I thank you for sending that. But I got to move on, and we got to go to George. And George, you're the last caller for today, so you're in the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, you're in the air.
Okay.
What happened to George? He just wanted to get into the air. He's gone. He's gone. He was the last caller. George, you were the last caller. Already, he may be calling. Uh-oh, something just happened. Joe, we lost Joe, too. Joe, are you there? Uh-oh, Joe got dumped, too. You think Joe knows he's dumped? Okay, so, well, he must because he's not hearing anybody now. So maybe, I think Joe's calling back. I think this is, it's lighting up. They're all lighting up.
Yeah, I got cut off too. Something happened.
Did you dump George? Did you dump George? This may be George. Okay. Oh, we got you. Okay, George, you got about 2 minutes now. Go ahead.
Real fast. Number one, we're getting rid of our governor in Oregon.
Yeah. Well,
and, there are several really good, strong Republicans.
How could you do that? I mean, she's the one, Katie Brown. Did she put all of the Tampax machines in the boys' bathrooms in the public schools, and those
That's
guys
right.
were a little confused.
She's a horrible person, and her.
Yeah, they were a little confused.
Her
those boys.
Number one was to protect Phil Knight and Nike's tax shield. It was set up by her mentor, the previous so-called governor John Kitzhaber, who disappeared with his girlfriend right in front of the sheriff. They're just about to be arrested for various forms of corruption. Anyway, no one's ever heard of the Kitzhabers. They weren't married. John Kitzhaber, no one's ever heard of him since then. Number two.
You got to hurry. Go ahead.
Did I hear the in Multnomah County, the sheriff says that the crime rate is out of sight. All capital crimes are into the stratosphere, and he's short on personnel, and they're being overwhelmed by it. So Portland is Portland stretches over like five counties, but Multnomah County is the biggest county in Oregon, and it's just out of sight. It's every kind of crime you could think of.
Oh, I know that. I hear from people there all the time. But I'm out of time, but thanks for calling.
Okay.
All righty. And, Joe, you've got 2 minutes, Joe. You got 2 minutes. Right. Can you give that invitation? 2 minutes.
I certainly can. Scripture tells us so many wonderful things, but Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, that's pretty plain. Unless you are born again. Now, being born again, well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father except by me. That's in John 14:6. So, if you want to be able to see the kingdom of God, if you want to be able to go to heaven, you must be born again, and the key is Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And Scripture tells us very plainly that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Romans 10:9-10. What you have to do is call upon the Father and confess that you're a sinner and need a Savior, that you are sorry, and you have to truly be repenting, that your sins put Jesus on that cross. He went and took your place, my place, Pastor Ernie's place, a substitutionary death. He paid the price for sin for us. And if we ask God to forgive us of those sins that put Jesus there, then we ask Jesus to become Lord, our Lord, Lord of our life, all of our life, without reservation. And we ask Jesus to give us that down payment on eternal life, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, I'm in the Father in me, and I am in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you become then, that's your spiritual baptism, you become a child of the kingdom, a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. You become this new creation. This is what we call a born-again believer, a son and daughter of the living God. And if you do that, you will be changed forever. And it is the biggest decision you will ever, ever make in your life. But it has to be from the heart, a true repentance of sin, and a call to the Lord that you take him up on his offer of salvation.
All right. And no one has ever regretted.
Not that we've met. We've met a lot of people in all our years.
Well, yeah, and you won't meet anyone who's ever regretted it. Receiving eternal life.
Nope.
And heaven and hell, there are no unbelievers in heaven or hell. Everybody there believes 24/7, folks, believe me. And you're not going to end up anywhere but one of those. God has said that. God says you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. So
two choices, right and wrong.
But for right now, we are out of time, so we want to say good night. God bless. And always, always
keep.
Fighting. The fight.
Fight.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.